Special greetings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to all you dearly beloved young people. Thank you for so much. I was encouraged by your worshipful praise and music that has the potential and the power to do what? Drive out evil spirits. Amen. Yes, I was really blessed. Thank you. Thank you to all of you for the opportunity and the privilege to come and share with you in the evening sessions. Although this says evening sessions, it's a morning session. But we're going to be continuing. I have one more principle that David lived, which basically honored future inspired and written scripture. But he lived it way back there already. Let's do a little review as we get into it. Youth pursuing after the heart of God. And I know that's your heart, your testimony, your worshipful praise and music this morning testifies. You want to go and you want to raise up the testimony of our awesome, great God. I appreciate it how many of you young people use the term awesome in expressing your testimony of God. You know, young people, that's the only place that word fits. God is awesome. Amen? Amen. Let the world have their slang, but we give God honor and glory. There is no awesome volleyball game. There is no awesome pizza. God alone is awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you for those testimonies. In review, for those of you that are dropping in this morning that may have not been here, we've been looking at guiding principles that God used in David's life to move him forward into what God had for him. And we have one more. We started on Thursday night with David's youthful, purposeful, passionate heart to seek after the heart of God. God himself said, I have found a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. Yes. Then on, that was Thursday night, Friday night, we looked at David's youthful praise and purity, his worshipful music, and his pure heart, a tamed tongue. The Bible says if you can tame the tongue by the Spirit of God, you can tame the whole body. The whole body will submit and surrender. Yes, then last night it was David's youthful power. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and we liken that to being filled with the Spirit. And God bless all you dearly beloved young people that were up here at the altar driving spiritual stakes. Emptying your vessel to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord to go and do his work. One more, fourth one. We're going to wrap up with it. And this one is every bit as important as all of the others. Yes, David's posterity. The word posterity has the idea of a testimony for future generations. And the testimony of David for us today and future generations that David lived is his submission to human authority. I heard one of you young people say that God is an awesome, or he's a good communicator. Amen? You learned that through the sessions in the day. Is that right? Well, don't be surprised if he's going to communicate that, what he has for you, through your father, human authority. You're saying, I can just think, what? He hit the music, now he's going to hit under getting under authority. Those are youth issues, aren't they, many times? But not with you, amen? I think better of you. Amen? Let's look at it. God used David's human authority to guide David forward into what he had for him. I asked you early on, you'd like to know what God's will is for your life? And you said yes. Well, here we go. Human authority. Let's look at it in David's life. Let's start with at the sacrifice, 1 Samuel. I want you to take note of this. This is a beautiful revelation that Dave. But before we do that, let's just preface the message with what God says in Romans chapter 13. And he speaks about human authority. Now, it's civil authority in Romans 13, but that'd be government authority. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that, this is a warning, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnations. Dearly beloved young people, we love you, and we have a heart for you. Please understand that if we resist direction from human authority, and tonight, this morning, I'm sorry, it's primarily going to be your father, your parents, and your mother. If you resist that, you heap damnation to yourself. And I know none of you want that. Amen? We know that. But now let's look at the blessing if you obey and cheerfully submit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And here's what David lived. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, when God talks about living long on the earth, what he has in mind is, remember David praying when he was older that God would not forsake him when he's gray-headed, but that he would show God's might, strength, and power to his generation and the generations to come. When God has many years on earth in mind, he's not just thinking about you getting old, but what he's thinking about is that you have many, 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 many years to have influence, divine influence for him with his presence to show his might, power, strength, and that he's a good God. He's an almighty God. That's what he has in mind. Many years of influence to perhaps your generation and beyond, like David. Many generations. Yes, if you would. Now let's, so keep that in mind as we go through the, he's not just talking about getting old. He's talking about using you to influence this present world for his honor and for his glory and his salvation to many, many years of influence. Yes. At the sacrifice, we looked at this many times already, and I'm not going to read it again, but I want you just to note that how did David get to the sacrifice when God was sent Samuel the prophet there to anoint him to be the next king? David didn't come running into that special service saying, "Here, anoint me." No, David was humble, was out with the sheep. Finally, it was his father that send for him. Let's just look at quickly here at verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" He said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we're not going to go any further until he comes hither." It was Jesse, David's father, that sent for David to come to the sacrifice, to be anointed with a whole cow's horn full of oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. This is a very important principle that God wants to use. Now, just look behind the scenes. God is speaking to Jesse about what his father, what God has for his son, David. This is only the beginning. David was called to the feast by Jesse, his father, and the prophet Samuel, where he was anointed, and from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And every great thing David did was by the power of God and the grace of God, you might say, upon his life. Let's move forward. You want an anointing upon your life, and I know you do, to be used of God. I know you do. You testified that. You sang that. Get cheerfully under all your human authorities, and yes, including a church. Get under the authority and direction of a church brotherhood in accountability. This is God's way. Your father, yes. You may say, well, what if I don't have a godly father? I don't know if there would be any like that here or not. If you find yourself, then find another brother that could be a father figure within your church to say, look, I want to put myself under your fatherly authority to guide me in my walk with God. Help me. If you see anything in my life that does not please you, please come to me in love. Point it out. That's what the brotherhood accountability is all about. Being accountable to a church. There's such a move today that troubles me, especially amongst young people. I only answer to God. Only God. Well, you do answer to God. But God wants you to be under human authority, and that includes church brotherhood, your pastor, your church brotherhood. Let's move on. We find that after some time, that right after David was anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 19. Let's just briefly look at that. 1 Samuel verse 16, verse 19. When Jesse, when the Saul's servants are talking about a man to minister to Saul with his harp and his music, his praiseful worship, we find where's David. He is back at the sheepfold. In verse 19 it says, and wherefore Saul sent messengers unto who? You following? Unto who? Jesse, his father, to call him to the sheep, to the presence of Saul. Now, I don't know how it really was. The Bible doesn't tell us that after the anointing of David to be the next king, the Bible says that Saul went on to Ramah. I don't know how it happened that David ends up back in the sheepfold. I don't know how much time, but David's back in the sheepfold. But I can just imagine the service is over. Everybody in the family knows that David's going to be the next king, but King Saul is on the throne. David can't go be the king. And so they're all maybe having a fellowship meal around there. And well, what's next? And I can just hear Jesse say, David, okay, back to the watching my sheep. Now put yourself in David's shoes. How would you respond? Papa? What? Didn't you hear what Samuel said? I'm going to be the next king. And you want me to go back there and watch your sheep? We don't find anything of such like. David goes right back to the sheepfold. Yes, God used, perhaps it was just the needs of the sheep, because that was David's job. That was what he did in serving his father. Just the needs of his father's sheep. David goes back to the sheepfold, even though the Bible does not specifically say that. Because he can't go be the king, because Saul's on the throne. How would have you responded? How would have I responded? We find no such thing. David just humbly went back to the sheepfold for more preparation in those quiet times alone with his God. More preparation. No resistance. We find the same thing when Saul called David to the king's court through his father, Jesse. We find that in verse 20. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. It was Jesse, his father, that is giving direction to what God has for David. Behind the scenes, God is orchestrating these things through Papa, Father. I don't know what you call your father. I trust you don't call him the old man. Yes, God through human authority, Father, was putting David in the king's court and presence. God was pushing David, sorry about that error, forward through human authority. I'm here to tell you, this is the way of God, young people. This is God's way. You want an anointing? Get under your a human authority, namely your father, it was for David. It can be it's your pastor and your brotherhood too. But we find again in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15, after David was in the presence of Saul, bringing comfort to him in those evil spirits, Saul being delivered. He was there a couple years. I don't know exactly how long, but it was a number of years. And he ministered, and it was a good place for David to be because there he could learn about kingly matters from Saul. Hopefully not too much because he's the rejected king. So let's just go on. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15, we find David back to the sheepfold, back to his father's sheepfold. Not only serving Saul, but his father, serving others. Yes, let's read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Again, we don't really know the circumstances, but perhaps it was simply the need of father's sheep. His older brothers had too much other things that they thought were important to do. They didn't have time for Papa's sheep. So it would appear like, can't be certain, that Jesse, his father, again called him back to his sheep, to watch his sheep, the humble sheepfold. More preparation from the Lord for the work that God had for him in the future to be the king. Yes. Now, this is all after he's anointed to be the next king. And then he was standing in the king's court for quite some time, but now it appears like his father again calls him back to watch his sheep. And I trust we would cheerfully submit just like David did, even after he's in the king's presence for a number of years, perhaps. Now let's go on to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17 and 18. Here again we find that, yes, David is with the sheep, and Jesse, Papa, comes out to where David is with the sheep, his son, verse 17, and he gives him some direction. Take now for thy brethren an ephah of the parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. Calls them brethren again. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captains, their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. It is at this time that Jesse sends David to go and check on his brethren who are fighting with Saul, the rejected king, the Philistines. And when David gets there, in obedience to his father, what happens? Bible readers, we know the account with this giant happens. How did David get there? He just happened to be there. By whose direction? His father. God, behind the scenes, yes, he's communicating to Jesse to get David into the place that God can use him to bring down the enemy, that this man that's defying the armies of the living God, Goliath. He didn't just happen to get there. His father sent him. Papa is giving direction to his son in what God has for him. Let's go on. It was his father that put David in the place that he heard that uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of the living God. But behind his father was God moving David forward in what he has for him to do for his own honor and glory. David is out there on the front lines, you might say, with his brothers. And let's just look. While he is there, verse 23 of chapter 17, and as he talked with them, his brothers and the other men of the army, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines, Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words. Goliath did this day after day. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he came up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. David is out there, right on the front line. The presence of God is with him. David was simply under his father's authority. Young people, this is God's way. David was out there in the front lines and could have went right out and could have killed Goliath, as we know he did. But not David. No, not David. Why? Why? Because there is one more human authority that he needs his blessing. Who is it? Saul. That's right. It's Saul. The rejected king. So David goes, talks to some men, and somehow in the process of time, David finds his way into the presence of Saul, the king. Let's read it. Verse 32 through 37. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, he didn't think it was a very good idea. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And this man Goliath, he's a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, and here's where we get this testimony of the bear and the lion, which you have seen photos of numerously. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of my father's flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it, the lamb, out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I mean, Saul doesn't think it's a good idea. So David makes a very appropriate appeal, gives the story of the lion and the bear. And verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David is jealous for God's glory. It was not that David was trying to make a name for himself. Nothing like that. David recognized that this uncircumcised Philistine is defying the armies of God. He's defying God. And David says, God's going to give him to me because he is defying God's glory. He's the enemy of God. And Saul, listen in. I just imagine Saul's, wow, David, you did that? Quite the story there, David. But his appeal was very appropriate and God-honoring. And listen to what Saul says. Saul says, And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. This is what David knew he needed. He needed the blessing and the approval of his human authority, the king. And he's a dishonorable king. The Lord has rejected him. But still David honors him and waits for the blessing of King Saul. Even King Saul blessed David to go and fight Goliath. David was out there on the front lines and could have went out straight one time and taken out Goliath. But no, not David. David honors all his human authority, his father, and even the Saul. Beautiful revelation of honoring human authority, honoring father, mother, pastor, brotherhood in a church. David knew to have God's favor and God's power, to show God's power and strength, he needed his human authority's blessings. Young people, as you go forward, don't miss this one. This is a big one, but it's a guiding principle in David's life. Human authority, namely your father and your accountability in a church blessing. Pastor, brotherhood. You see, Saul then wanted to give his armor to David, but what Saul didn't know is that David knew he had God's favor upon him, but he needed his authority's blessing, but he had the whole armor of God on him. He had the breastplate of righteousness, if you would. He had the belt of truth. He had the shield of faith. He had the helmet of salvation, if you would. The sword of the Spirit. His feet were prepared with the gospel. That takes taken out of Ephesians 6. David had the whole armor of God upon him. He didn't need Saul's armor. I mean, he says, I haven't proved this. I can't go with this. And, of course, we know that he took it off. Finally, I want you to notice, David goes, yes, and David is a one youthful man, all for God. All of heaven's power, all of God's power, strength, might, purpose is behind David. And look at verse. David knew where he stood in his God. David knew that God would be faithful. David had no fear. David actually run. Look at verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and David ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David is running to do God's work and to raise up the testimony for God's honor and glory. There's no hesitation. You remember those rivers freely flowing, rapidly accelerated, fruitful work for God's honor and glory. And David literally runs to meet Goliath. The Bible says that Goliath disdained him. I mean, he despised him. He wanted at least to have some kind of a fight. And here comes this youthful shepherd boy. But what Goliath doesn't know is that David is a giant of a man in his God. And he's going to become a grasshopper, if you would. David is a giant of a man in his God. And God is with him. And God's going to give him the victory. Give him a fruitful work for his honor and for his glory. Well, David's time is finished. His generation is finished. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. It's now your opportunity to be that one man, that one woman, all for God. And listen to what David says as he runs towards Goliath in verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David is very jealous of the glory of God, that God would get glory. And God does not give his glory to another. He will use a man today, just like he did David, and a woman, that whose heart is pure heart, worshipful music, filled with the Spirit. The hand of the Lord was upon David to do his work. Yeah, that picture gives you a little bit of a revelation of the giant and how youthful, young David was. But the Spirit of the Lord was with him and empowered him to do a work for his honor and glory. A work that we love to look at and we love to tell our children about, but we must remember who David was in his God. And that was my whole heart through every evening session. Who David was in his God. Anointed with the Spirit of God to do a great work for God's honor and gates. God's glory. Show God's power. Show God's might. Show God's strength. Well, now it's your opportunity, young people. And I know that's your heart. Yes, that all the earth may know that there's a God of Israel. And here we are being blessed by how bold this young man was in his God to do a work for his God, for God's honor and glory. David, I'll get back to David in a moment here. And David even honored imperfect human authority. There was a time in 1 Samuel chapter 24, let's go there, as David was running for his life and he bedded down in a cave and he was in the back of the cave and Saul was in the front. And his men came and told him that Saul is bedded down, and David had told them that that the Lord will take care of Saul. And of course, they were thinking that give David the opportunity to kill him, but David had such honor and respect for Saul, who was a very imperfect human authority. And God had rejected him, and David, all he did was just cut off the little bit of the hem of his robe. Let's just read this. 1 Samuel 24, verses 4 through 8. And it came to... And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. Verse 5, and it came to pass afterward, after he did it, his heart smote him. His heart smote him, the Bible says. And because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Such honor and respect he had for even imperfect human authority. And the next morning he waited until Saul was out a ways, and then he held up the hem of his garment. And why am I looking at this? You may say, "Pastor, you don't know my father." You're right, I don't know your father. You don't know my human authority. You're right. I don't know your human authority. I don't. But I'm not the one that penned honor thy father and thy mother. I'm not the one that penned honor all your human authority. That will be well with you. That was God that penned that. And so God even asks, David even honored imperfect human authority. And you know, young people, it's never too late. Maybe some of you will need to go home and honor your father. I was 30. My father, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, it says that fathers, and it shall turn. Let me just drop in at verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers, that's repentance, unto the children, and the heart of the children. Notice, it's two ways there. First, the heart of the father, then to the children. Then it also says, the heart of the children, turn them to the fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Dear beloved young people, when I found the Lord at 37 years of age, the Lord spoke to my heart to go and turn my heart to my papa. And I did. We didn't discuss things like that. I had not totally disobeyed him, but I had not totally obeyed him either. And I said, I'm 37 years of age. I said, Papa, last night I found the Lord, and I'm a changed man. The Lord is changing me from glory to glory. I said, Papa, I want to thank you for doing the best that you could in guiding me and training me and watching over me. I took the initiative. Papa did not. Some of you, and I said, Dad, I love you, and for the first time ever, Papa and I hugged. And I threw my arms around him. I said, I kissed him on the cheek. I said, Papa, I love you. I turned my heart to him. And my dad said, Son, I need to say I'm sorry. I know I wasn't the dad I should have been. Would you forgive me? You see, now he's turning his heart to me. But I had taken the initiative. I said, Daddy, it's okay. Papa, it's okay. And father and son, you may say, well, what did that feel like if you, for the first time ever, you wrapped your arms around your papa and you hugged him and you said you loved him. And he wrapped his arm and he said, Son, I love you too. You want to know what it felt like? It was really stiff. Just go out here somewhere and grab a telephone pole. It was about that stiff. But that, from that day forward, everything changed. Later in life, when my dad was dying of brain cancer, he didn't go to my older brother for counsel. He came to me. And later in life, when he was 76 years old, I came home from my mission post in the West Indies because Dad was dying of brain cancer, and I wasn't sure where he was at with the Lord. I wasn't sure. I came home. I said, Papa, I love you. Yes, son, I love you too. I said, Papa, tell me about your experience in finding the Lord. Here's what he said. Son, I want to tell you something. He said, it's when the Lord got a hold of your life and you turned your heart to me that it began. And I seen the radical change in your life. I began to look inward and I said, and Papa said, I knew I had never found the Lord. And he said, it's only been a few short years ago that I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you, son. Thank you, son. Thank you, son. Now he's thanking me for turning my heart to him and in the change, the great change that the Lord had wrought in my heart. And I'm convinced that Papa went home to be with the Lord. He died only about a year or so after that. Young people, turn your hearts to your father. Some of you go home and you tell him, Papa, maybe, Pops, I want you to guide my life. I know that the Lord wants to use you to speak and want maybe a companion in my life, a life companion for your life. Maybe the work that God has, human authority. Yes, I'm here to tell you that God wants to use you to make his name great, to raise up the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these principles were principles that God used to move David forward. This morning's message is human authority. But they were all tied together. I'm here to tell you, there yet remain many giants among us that defy God's name. There's a giant right now, today, there's a giant of fear among us. Great fear. Political changes. Coronavirus. There's great fear. God is looking for young men, young ladies, all of us to rise up of a testimony of that God has given me not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Resting in God, trusting the Lord. God is a good God. My life is in His hands and I trust Him for whatever He has. As I was going into surgery for my knee replacement, I realized I was going to go under anesthesia. There's people that go under anesthesia and they don't wake up. I said, Lord, God is a living reality. God is a living reality in my life today and yours too. He's real. He's a real God. He's a loving God. He's a God of power. He's a God of goodness. He's a God of goodwill. Amen. He's an awesome God. Hallelujah. Good things. Isn't that what Christmas was all about? The angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. People are looking for a testimony of just exactly that, of a good God. As I'm going into surgery, I said, Lord, I love you. Thank you for all that you've done for me. I said, Lord, your word tells me, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that my body belongs to the Lord. This old bag of bones, it belongs to you, Lord. And you call us to glorify God with our body and our spirit. I said, this body belongs to you. Would you help yourself to your body? The body belongs to the Lord. It also tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 that our bodies are a member of Christ. That means that our bodies are His mouth. We are His love. Our bodies, we are His tongue. We are His mouth to declare the gospel of peace and goodwill in Jesus Christ's name, to raise up the testimony of Jesus. There's a third one in there. Anybody can tell me real quickly? 1 Corinthians 6, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And out of it, God wants living water to be flowing as a river of life. I said, God, help yourself, would you, according to your will, to this bag of bones and get a testimony. And I went under. I woke up, two new knees. And it's only 12 weeks ago. From the very get-go, even in the hospital, the nurses, the doctor said, you're amazing. Your healing, your strength. I said, I serve an amazing God. Hallelujah. God is a living reality today in my life. And I just test us. See, God said, I want you to bring honor and glory with your spirit and your body. And so everywhere I'm going, I promised the Lord I'd give a testimony of what He did. I go up to Fairmont Homes for rehabilitation. The nurses come in there and they see I had both knees done at one time. And they go, ouch, two at a time. And I give God and I'm up and I'm walking before I was allowed to. I didn't catch that. Where'd that come from?
I can't believe. You're up and walking before you're allowed to. This I can't believe.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I said, I serve an amazing, awesome God. And He chose to honor the cry of my heart. And the nurses literally would come into the room on, I heard this through around the back of the grapevine. The nurses said, if you want a blessing, you want to hear some good news, go into Pastor Raymond's room. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. It's not about me. I finally went to see the doctor and they said, you are amazing. Amazing. That's the word I would hear. We've never seen anything quite like this. To God be the glory. Finally, I went to see my orthopedic surgeon, and I'm sitting there in his little room, and he comes in there, And he said, "Mr. Burkholder, I want to see you walk." Well, I got up and I started walking around in the little office. Well, it wasn't very much. It wasn't very big. So I walked across out into the hall, up and down the office there. He's following me. And he said, "Oh, okay. He said, "You can go sit down." He said, "You are amazing." And then I testify, I serve an amazing God. God is a living reality today. And his grace and his power are working in my life. And I can't shut up. I can't back up. I can't slow up. I must raise up the testimony of God. And raise up the testimony of our loving, amazing Lord Jesus Christ. There are yet many giants today. That's where I was at. There's the giant of dead formalism and religiosity all around us. Some of it even creeps into the church. It's not very alive for God. Dead formalism. There's the giant of heathenism and fear and ungodliness all around us. They're looking and waiting for a testimony that God is real. That's what Jesus said. His last words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be a witness for me that I'm a good God, I'm a healing God, I'm the God of salvation, I'm the God of mercy, grace, and goodness." A good God, amen, an awesome God, amen, hallelujah. Begin at your Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. I never finished what the doctor said, my surgeon. I need to tell you this yet. He said, "Mr. Burkholder, you're good to go. Go do whatever you want to do." Well, I want to please God. He said, "Go to Thailand, go to Asia, go to India." See, I had told him the work I do. And he said, "You just go. You just go. You're good to go." I said, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah." And I want to use what he's done for me. I wore out the old undercarriage. He's given me a new undercarriage to go with the gospel wherever he calls me in Jesus' name. Amen. There are still many giants among us, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, young people. There's the giant of Islam. There's the giant of Buddhism. I just noticed this morning, driving through Akron, there are Buddhist prayer flags in Akron, Pennsylvania. People are waiting for a true, genuine witness of the power of God and Jesus Christ. There's the giant of Hinduism, India. There's many giants that remain that are defying the living God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The eyes of the Lord are still searching, going to and fro across the whole earth, looking for a man or a woman whose heart is perfect towards him, that he can show himself strong, his power, his might, his strength in a holy life to a world around you that's waiting to see Christ fleshed out, lived out, Christ-likeness, and to hear the gospel. Yes, there's many giants yet that remain. Will you be mightily used of God to conquer them, as was David? I'm not going to give an invitation. We did that last night. You can just, if you need to do business with God, and the business I'm talking about, some of you may need to go to your papa. Turn your heart to your papa. I encourage you to do that. He may not know. We may think, "Well, what happened to you?" Tell him to listen to this message. That's what happened. You want God to work through your human authority to give you direction in life, including choosing a life companion. Whatever God has for you. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you're not just a good God, but Lord, you're an only good God. And you have a good You save us into your savings account to spend us for your own honor and glory. You're a jealous God about your glory. I pray you would just a snap of the heart of some of these young people this morning, where there may be some tension between Papa and the youth, to turn their hearts to their Papa, their Father, knowing that you use human authority to give them direction in what you have for them. And you want a good relationship between Father and son and daughter. I pray, Lord, that you would accomplish that and then speak as you would through human authority in giving these young people direction. And we know you will as they submit to you and their human authorities. Give them a heart to be submissive and surrendered in a church, in going and being a blessing in the direction of the church, for your honor and for your glory, since the call is corporately to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless all these young people, Lord. Prove yourself to them strong, mighty, and an awesome God of good things, Lord, as they submit to you and their human authority. Bless these dear young people, for your honor and for your glory and for your cause of the gospel unto a world that's waiting to see and hear Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tim, do I turn it back to you? I'm done. You do with it whatever you want to do. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.